Street View Podcast is part of the Dallas Public Library's Homeless Engagement Initiative, dedicated to increasing community awareness of issues related to homelessness. The opinions expressed are solely those of the individuals and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Dallas Public Library or the City of Dallas.
How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? You got it all figured out, straight from your cube. Life's a musical, maybe a carousel. How do you want to see it? What do you want to do? Perception starts with selection. The same streets you walk on, they carry their own view. This is Street View. Father God of heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed thank you. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us all our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from sin and from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What's up, y'all? How y'all doing? First day back. How have you been? This is Rashad Anthony Dickerson. I am the host of the Street View Podcast, and the Street View Podcast is full in effect with the whole team in the building. We got the captain of the ship, Mr. Ryan. We also have the one and only Miss Ann Beaver, who is over the Homeless Engagement Initiative. We also have the Homeless Engagement Initiative coordinator in the building, Mr. Malcolm. We also have Jasmine Africa Waller, the reaching out into the community lady. This lady is the community engagement director here at the Dallas Public Library. And we come to give you guys the opportunity to be a part of a community. So how's everybody been? How you guys been? Like, do I need to like start picking you guys randomly?
I think we would rather hear about how you've been, Rashad.
Oh my goodness. Well, I've been going through a lot of different situations. The young man has to grow up. I've been growing up one step at a time. That means I've been taking on responsibilities. That means I've been dealing with the ills of life and dealing with the beautiful parts of life. I cherish the moments that mean something, and I've just been going through school, the bridge. I don't know if you know about the bridge. It shifted its side. It was once facing towards Farmers Market. Now it's facing towards the highway. Talk about subliminal message. But the bridge has shifted its opening doors, which is the homeless shelter, the local homeless shelter. School, I'm doing like 5 classes. I got a car while we were gone. No, I did not get a Jeep and a dog like we talked about on the last episode of the last podcast. Recently, I met the new community, or should I say the new organizer for the Homeless Engagement Initiative, Mr. Malcolm Varner, who's from Michigan, or who has studied at the University of Michigan, who's from Cincinnati, who's also been to Ohio. You've been all around, right?
I'm actually from Ohio. Okay. Yes. And I studied at Oberlin and Case Western Reserve University, which is in Cleveland.
In Cleveland. I've met it. I've watched Ann beat people in Uno like she said she would. I've also seen the captain. He's my tutor also with my music program and the things that I have going on. So a lot's going on with me. Jasmine, what's been going on with you?
Well, we've just been trying to get things going, keep things going, start
like
new things.
Like what?
Well, the podcast has been off the
chain.
Off the air.
Off the air, yeah. We haven't been recording any podcasts over the past 3 or 4 months.
What else?
So we're super excited to get the podcast geared up and ready to go again. We have a lot of great guests already lined up. Mm-hmm. A lot of great agencies that we weren't able to include last season. We'll be bringing some of them in, like Back on My Feet. We're hoping to get Solomon's Porch on.
Right.
We have Willie Barnett, who is an SMU professor who's got some really great work he's doing with homeless communities. Through art, and he's got a documentary and a book coming out. He'll be on the show.
Right.
So we have a lot coming up we're super excited about in terms of the podcast.
Yes, ma'am.
But, of course, our programs kept going here at the library.
Like what?
Coffee and Conversation twice a month, every month, like clockwork. We actually just celebrated our full year this month.
Yay!
Is a full year, full 12 months of Coffee and Conversation. So without fail, twice a month.
Yeah.
Cookies
and coffee in the
and
building.
Conversation.
You're going to have us over there. I'm coming. Pastries and coffee. I'm on my way.
And over the summer, we tweaked it up a little bit and put a little bit of her art flavor into it, called it Coffee and Creativity. And Anne's been doing some awesome things with that and with our photography program. So I'm sure she's got some updates on those.
We just finished our fourth photography workshop, series of workshops, taking people out on the streets of downtown mm-hmm. with cameras, mm-hmm. seeing downtown in a different way.
Yeah, I saw the picture with the bone and the ants.
That's mine.
That's pretty nice. I like that.
So we know how Ann used City.
I don't normally put my photos in the exhibit, but I couldn't help it. That was just too cool. But no, there's some fabulous photos from the previous class, and we had an excellent group this time, the one that we're in the middle of, very passionate, excited amateur photographers we're going to be looking at the pictures tomorrow, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now that you brought that up, I want to shout out the Stew Pot for next week, because next week they'll be opening up 508 Park Street, which is one of you guys' displays here at the library on the fourth floor, right?
I think it's a soft opening of their Encore Park Amphitheater. I don't know that the full 508 Park is opening.
Nah, I don't think so. I think it's
But they're
going to
have
too.
Some festivities. You'll be performing.
I will be performing.
Shameless
I will
plug
be performing.
For the open mic. For the, what are you guys called?
El Centro Spoken Word Club, which is a bunch of individuals who want to like reach out into the community and touch people with spoken words.
And that's October 24th.
Yep.
10:30 a.m. And then Opportunity Center, City Square's Opportunity Center, is doing their grand opening on November 6th.
Okay.
I also believe at 10:30 in the morning.
I did not know.
6th.
I guess I will be going.
So there's a lot of great things opening up.
Yep.
Yep, this fall.
And especially the new boss of AmeriCorps staff members here at the library.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Malcolm and his position and kind of lead in a little bit to his story. He can tell his own story, but we'll tell a little bit background as to our hopes and dreams and ideas for his role. So at the Central Library for the past year, we have had two AmeriCorps members here part-time, successfully and wonderfully engaging our customers experiencing homelessness. And they have done a phenomenal job, and they will continue to do so. But what we really realize is that we need to step up to kind of keep the momentum going and to really fulfill the vision of what we're trying to do here in the downtown Dallas area. We really need someone here full time. And we were super lucky to receive a special projects grant through the Texas State Library and Archives Commission. And that grant is supporting Malcolm's position as a homeless engagement coordinator. He'll be here full time. And it will also support the creation of what we're calling the Community Exchange. And the Community Exchange is going to be a space in our current program triangle where we hold coffee and conversation. And the goal of that space is to really allow for the community to convene as a community center. And to really try to change perception in the community about what libraries are, and that libraries are there for the entire community. That includes housed and unhoused people. It includes people who live and work downtown.
Sounds like the public.
The public, exactly. Except that sometimes people view the community as their people, who they are. I am the community. Well, no, actually, the community is really diverse. And just because you don't do something or just because you see things your way doesn't mean that you are the whole community. And so we're hoping to really pose the library in a way that will show that very concretely that we are a place of social inclusion. We embrace diversity, and that the most diverse urban environments are actually statistically the most innovative. And the idea that the exchange of ideas actually lend to innovation.
So, in essence, we're all sitting here so we can, like, I want to, like, talk to Mr. Varner, and I'm going to interview him a little bit when we come back. But we're also introducing us back to the people about what we're still headed towards humility as a whole. And when we come back, I guess we will interview Mr. Varner. Thank you, guys. So I have the great pleasure of actually sitting down and looking at Mr. Malcolm Varner. And Mr. Malcolm Varner is an individual I can tell has definitely been around because he's older than I am and probably can teach me some different things. Earlier we sat down and we talked, right?
Yes.
And we talked about a couple of different things. Just a little bit about it, about your history. You mind giving a brief synopsis of who you are?
Not at all. First and foremost, let me just say it's a pleasure and an honor to definitely be here in this new position here at the Dallas Public Library. And it's definitely a pleasure getting to know you, Rashad, you know, as someone who's been very instrumental in terms of this homeless engagement initiative, you know, occurring in the first place. So that being said, I'm from Ohio. My background is in social work for the most part. I went to school at Case, and it was there where I actually first got involved with issues of homelessness through my graduate program practicum that I had to do. So I was at a shelter in Cleveland, 2100, for a year and a half, working primarily on different administrative tasks with the director of the shelter. But it was in my first job where I actually got involved working directly, you know, with individuals who were experiencing homelessness as a case manager, and helping people get connected to resources and find housing and jobs and things along those lines. And then going on from there to manage a 60-bed dorm. And from there, I got involved with HIV prevention and some Medicaid case management. But aside from that, you know, I come from a very small family. I'm one of five kids. My younger sister, I share the same mother with her. And my three other siblings, we all share the same father. But I was raised by my grandmother. And for most of my youth, my father initially raised me because my mother left when I was a toddler. She left my younger sister and I. And while living with my father, we experienced homelessness on and off. Both of my parents were drug addicts, and my father's substance of choice was crack cocaine. And based on his addiction, that led to a lot of instability in our lives. And so we slept in hallways. We stayed with different friends of his for, you know, short periods of times. We weren't able to stay in a shelter because I was with him. And as a kid, there weren't very many options for the both of us to stay. And so we primarily bounced on and off the streets. And so a big part of my interest in terms of my professional life is speaking to adversities and people sort of fighting those and getting through them and becoming what it is, you know, that's in their hearts and what they're passionate about. And so that's my long-term goal and interest.
That's interesting. Those things are very, very interesting and very humbling. My question to you is, do you think, and this is just a personal question, do you think positive affirmations have helped you in your past?
Oh, absolutely. And those affirmations have come from individuals like mentors, certain family members, teachers especially. The educational system is such an important, you know, part of our culture, because teachers are so crucial when it comes to shaping the lives of young students. And so there were numerous teachers in my life who provided positive affirmations, you know, to me. So I cling on to all of those things. In addition to that, I'm also a poet, and I know you're a spoken word artist. I don't do spoken word, but, you know, I'm more of a traditional, quote unquote, poet, if you will. And so that being said, a lot of my poetry is affirmations, not only for myself, but as I said, in terms of people facing adversity and things like that and other challenges, you know, that they may have. I use art, the written art, in that way, you know, for myself and others.
It seems that art is a dominant and recurring theme amongst us that we probably overlook as a people. I think one of the things about art that I've learned while being a student up at El Centro is that art is pretty much the thermometer of our time or our generation, in a sense. My question to you is, do you have models? Like any models that you, like your top two models, if you had to, if I singled you out and said, what are your top two, what would those be?
That's a really good question. So let me just first agree with you in terms of, you know, you said art sort of being that thermometer, and I see artists as definitely sort of filling that role or serving in that role, certainly within our culture, and see art as this sort of common language, you know, amongst, you know, people of all backgrounds. That being said, to get to your question, I don't know if I could limit it to two. there are lots of them, but who would I say? I would have to say Tyler Perry is one, actually. Tyler Perry, a lot of people talk about his plays and how they have the same recurring themes, I mean, you know, in many ways, but culturally, he makes such an impact because he's able to tell stories that people relate to and can identify with and, you know, see themselves, their sisters, their coworkers, you know, or their friends, you know, and their characters. And given his own experience, you know, with homelessness and as a writer, that so from where he came to where he is today, I think is just extraordinary. Absolutely. And so he would sort of be my modern day sort of, you know, person that I look up to. Someone who isn't as modern, there are many different possibilities. I would have to say James Baldwin. He, for me, as a gay black male who was very outspoken, you know, for his time, certainly ahead of the curve, but a prolific writer and a prolific speaker in terms of just being able to, you know, identify issues culturally, you know, that were going on and speak upon them. I just find him somebody who's very inspirational. And again, he's a writer. And so as a writer, you know what I mean? There's a
you identify
a natural sort of, you know,
affinity.
Thank you. That I have, you know, to them.
That's awesome. That is not what I asked you. I asked you your mottos.
I thought you said models. But
see, everyone else thought that too.
But maybe I slurred in my speech. Maybe I did say something that I didn't intend to say. I didn't mean mottos, but I definitely dug the
what
whole.
What do you mean mottos?
There are certain, how would you say, axioms maybe that axioms. Individuals live by, or maybe you get it.
All right. I think I understand what you're saying.
Like life is short. Like stuff like that. Yeah. Like you only live once. YOLO.
Yes, or that's my intent.
What about quotes?
Quotes. I mean, that's what I mean quotes, in a sense.
Okay. To whom much is given, much is required. Exactly. Or much is expected. And I've had so many opportunities in life. More opportunities than I deserve. And so I feel with that, there's a great deal of responsibility for me and my own life. Another one that I would think about or that comes to mind would be quote, you know, by Frederick Douglass, without struggle, there is no progress. Am I getting that quote right?
A friend of mine recently told me a quote that is very similar, and I'm wondering if he got it from Frederick Douglass, where he said, if you don't fight, nothing will change.
I heard that power concedes nothing without demand.
Amen.
Right? Which is also his quote.
That's a great quote.
And so, yeah, that's a powerful one as well.
When you talk about responsibility, I'll give you one of mine. And I'm a little, you know, people don't know, but I'm extremely animated, as you saw earlier. I am very, very, very active mentally. I think and I rip and I run in my mind as much as I, more than my body can. And so one of the best quotes I ever heard came from Spider-Man, where Uncle Ben says, "With great power comes great responsibility." And that is also in line with the first quote. The reason I asked you about that is because sometimes, even there's another quote, if you don't, Martin Luther King, if an individual hasn't found something that he's willing to die for, he isn't fit to live. So sometimes people need, on those Mondays, you know, on those Mondays, they need a reason to do what they're doing. We talked about conformity, and I talk about conformity with a lot of different individuals. But at one point, the question was asked, well, why do you get up and go to work? And nobody really has an answer for that outside of, you know, I do it because I'm, you know, everybody's doing it. You know what I'm saying? I'm doing it because I'm trying to provide for my family. And you know, there are alternate ways and all. We all have our own options to choose from. So
do you not see that as a legitimate answer? As I'm, somebody who's going to work to provide for their family? I'm just curious.
I mean, I do. I definitely agree with it, but I do think that there are alternatives besides stuck in a job you don't like. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's the ability here for me. Let's take me for an example. Till about 22, I did not have my mind made up on actually being productive in society. I had no understanding of why I was and why I'm here. What's my purpose? And then I then started taking on those mottos and those things that mom always talked about and those signs up in the principal's office, like altitude is defined by attitude. Things of that nature didn't really sink in. Like we talked in the first beginning of the show, Rashad had to grow up, and he's still growing up in a sense, even at the age of 27.
And I think that's a lifelong process for everyone.
I once heard this from a guy up at the homeless shelter. The minute you stop learning is the day you start dying. So tell us a little bit about what you have planned for the Homeless Engagement Initiative.
Well, that's a really great question. At this point of time, it really is about me coming in and learning about what's going on. You know, changes aren't going to happen overnight, but the program has already been going on. And so, you know, you have the coffee and creativity, formerly coffees and coffee and conversations. They're doing, you know, the movie nights. They're already helping people with referrals. That is Andrea and Antoinette, the Mayor Corps members. So they're already, you know, doing the program. In terms of where I fit in, you know, and the grant that's there. I think we'll be reviewing the grant and some of the goals and the outcomes that we're shooting for, and really start looking at you know, what we need to set in place in order, you know, to achieve those. And so as we move forward, there's going to be that learning, that initial assessment, and getting a feel on, you know, what it is that the customers we're serving here at the library would like, you know, and making sure that that's a part of the process, because it is a community. It is a community program. And so that input is certainly necessary. Certainly I have ideals, but at this point of time, you know, it really is a matter of, you know, just learning, doing that basic assessment, and then really going from there to build on, you know, the great things that, you know, that are already happening.
I want to stop what I'm doing and say thank you again, because you came here and you're being very observant, but you came here with an intent to help. And one of the things I see as probably one of our greatest assets is that you've been in multiple places. One of the greatest things I've ever known is different domains have different ideas. And you being in multiple places dealing with the social work that you've dealt with, I think it'll be a great help here. My question, though, is how long have you been in Dallas, and what other social activities or social norms have you noticed or are different from where you're from?
I've been in Dallas since April, so it's just been over 6 months. So not a very long period of time. And moving to Dallas and being from Ohio, I was in Charlotte before. And in many ways, there are some similarities, you know, between Dallas and Charlotte, or Texas and Charlotte, as being cities that are in the South. And so there is a sort of Southern culture in terms of even as simple as things people like in grits, you know, and barbecue. You know what I mean? Those are, you know, things that are, you know, certainly embedded within the culture here.
Innate. I love grits.
See, are you from the South?
I'm from New Orleans.
Are you from New Orleans? Okay. Still a Southern city. You know, with you know, cultural differences, I mean, at the end of the day, there are certainly similarities. And so as far as, you know, social issues, you know, all cities, you know, for the most part, all states are facing, you know, challenges of homelessness and challenges of poverty and issues of affordable housing. You know, these are things that, you know, everyone are dealing with. And so, you know, certainly being in different areas, you have different perspectives. But I think, you know, just recognizing that, you know, we're all, you know, engaging in really the same fights, you know, is also important too, and all trying to figure out the ways, the best ways to respond to those.
Well, there's a big scare here in Dallas right now that's starting to get on my nerves. It's Ebola. I mean, how do you feel about actually coming to this city and the monumental scale of it's being projected that Dallas is ground zero or whatever? How do you feel about that, though? About coming here.
Are you
Dallas.
Scared, Malcolm? You should be.
Oh. No.
now I need to knock on some wood.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Right.
But it is certainly an unfortunate thing that Dallas has to deal with this. But being in the United States and being in a city like Dallas with so many resources, you know, is hardly comparable to what's going on, you know, in Liberia and any other countries, you know, that's being hard hit, you know, with this disease, unfortunately. And so I don't think at this point in time there's a big need for us to be really fearful or anything like that, because we know that it's not easily spread. And and thanks to the amenities and things that we're afforded in this culture, you know, I think we all have, you know, the opportunity to make sure that it doesn't get out of control.
Thanks for letting me pick your brain, man. I just wanted to mess with you just a bit. I wanted to pick your brain. And thanks, man, just honestly for being honest.
And before we end, I have a question for you.
You got questions. I would love for you to ask questions.
All right.
Go ahead.
And so as being, you know, one of the people that's been really important in making this happen, what are your goals and what would you like to see happen, you know, with the community exchange?
Man, I'll be honest with you. As an individual who's been homeless here in Dallas since 2012, and when I say homeless, I mean just without stable ground to stand upon in accord with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, I see actually a worsening situation that many of us will talk about. There is a manufactured drug right now that is killing us. It is called K2. As I go back to the homeless shelters from time to time, I see individuals, and this was the summertime, laying on concrete, like strung out as if they're heroin addicts, laying there on K2. And I have to then not dehumanize them. I have to not treat them as if they're inhumane. So I may have to compensate time and energy just to go over there and kick it with somebody and try to provide humility to say, yo, man, you don't have to be here like this, bro. I mean, you're dehydrated. You're laying here. And you know, that is tough. So one of my goals is to bring more people to places of not only just positivity, but places where resources can be dispensed. My biggest deal, Malcolm, seriously, is the belief. It said if you would believe in Jesus Christ, how do you change the belief of an individual? If I feel as if I'm being met and I'm in a place where I'm satisfied with what I have, my amenities, how do you change their belief? The belief. So my intent is to actually tweak and touch the minds of individuals. Put it this way, there are extremes. And if you know the extremes, one of the extremes of America is homelessness. That's the low. But one of the also another extreme is riches or fame or of some sort. So to make sure that we as a people have notice of the opportunities that are available, is my job. Is my job is to make sure you know the opportunities that you have outside of Smoking K2 or outside of the homeless shelter. What else is available to you? What is available? At six, I played with lizards and I didn't know what a marine biologist was. And then in the jail cell, I'm watching TV. Hey, that's a marine biologist, a guy who plays with lizards, right? So that's an opportunity to which I never knew existed. And I think a lot of individuals see the opportunities that are before them in a way of, oh, this is the pattern to which I need to go in order to perpetuate the life that is so great, which is here, America. We have a great life because we're perpetuating the same culture that we've been going through. But I think it's, I don't think any drug has consideration of a future culture. I don't think that's something we think about when we take drugs. So that's what I'm aiming at. Aiming at the belief system that drugs are not okay. So is there any other questions?
I just want to say that when we first met Malcolm, we were super excited to have his diverse set of skills at the table to help us to really bring to life the bigger picture that we're trying to achieve here, really getting the entire community involved and continuing some of these projects with people like you, Rashad. And so we're really excited to move forward and to get some more episodes of the podcast under our belt and get some more really great guests and insight on the show this year.
I definitely agree with you. And I think that's the best thing that we could do is just continue to work in an effort to be positive and change some things that might benefit others and bring community amongst us. I'm grateful for the opportunity to work with you guys, and working with you guys has been my heart's joy and my greatest triumph in life, honestly. I never expected it to be as it is, and where I am, it shocks me. It shocks me, it scares me sometimes, but I do believe what Jason Bourne said. He said, they can't stop me. Jason Bourne said, they can't stop me, and so what I am trying to do is... I'm trying to continue in the way of positivity, and I'm grateful for you guys every single step of the way. Thank you.
And I just like to say that it was, again, a pleasure being here and rapping on the mic with you all. And to you, Rashad, you know, I definitely commend you in terms of your passion, you know, and being a voice, you know, for others and wanting to make sure that people have the resources, you know, that they need to sort of get on track, you know, with their lives and get what it is that they need. And certainly in, you know, doing like this podcast and being, you know, someone states away, you know, miles away, even perhaps countries, you know, can listen to and know what's going on here in Dallas.
I hope we all bring forth influence. So if y'all don't mind, y'all mind if I pray us out? Is that cool? Father God of heaven, thank you for the time and the energy that you give us. We've shown it toward each other, God. We're showing it toward a purpose and the cause, which is your people. We're grateful for your opportunity, God. We're grateful for so many beautiful blessings, God. But we know that having it means giving away, and it's better to give than to receive. So we have it so that we might give it to others and others might reap the benefits of the labor and the joy that we receive from being people and human and sharing one another, sharing love and life. And so we thank you. We thank you for that ability and that time. And we thank you just for being you, which is being relatable to us. So thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Street View. You can visit us online at streetviewpodcast.com. Tune us in again next time for more discussion.